Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call this mess Baltimore Positive. Come on out and see us. It is a big week for baseball and football around here as we get back on the sports grid. Luke is monitoring all things Oriole baseball and, of course, the Liars Luncheon this week. And we have an NFL draft next week as well. But anytime Baltimore v. Cleveland shows up, I just revert back to old school, stealing the Browns, Art Modell, Modell laws, back when the Guardians were called the I word or the T word and they were featured in Major League. This guy came in and called Oriole baseball for a number of years, right around the turn of the century. It's been a little while for you young old timers, but I always try to keep him fresh here. He's still calling games for ESPN. He is a man on the mic out in Ohio, but hails from the Motor City in Motown, but has made his life in Cleveland, even having crying children during the LeBron James parade. I don't know when the next parade is, Michael Regei. The Guardians, it certainly won't be the Browns right now, although I love me some Joe Flacco. Go get him. But, Baltimore versus Cleveland, and I can't quit you. I got to have you on, and I got to catch up with you, man.
I appreciate it, man. Always great to chat it up with you and break it all down. It's the two cities got the symmetry, right? You and I have talked about that before, and I think that right now there's a lot of love for the team with the top record in the NBA. I don't know if the Cavaliers are going to be able to find a way to beat the Boston Celtics. I question if they can, but that's kind of at the forefront of everybody's mind right now. And the NFL draft, with whom the Browns are going to take with that number two pick.
Yeah, we have our own massage scandal here in Baltimore. I don't know if you've heard about it or not, because we don't talk about it much. It was just 16 women with allegations on Tucker. So, and yeah, the NFL's investigating. I'm waiting for Raj to release that information before Green Bay next week. But look, baseball brings us together, and the Guardians and the Orioles, we have new ownership here, Mike. And I just want to say this for you. We have a new owner here. I do not have a press credential. I have been banned by the next ownership group, which I'm writing to Katie Griggs this week. But here's the fascinating thing. If you would have told me a year ago, or if I would have told you as being a young old timer, that a new owner would come in and spend some money on some 41-year-old and 35-year-old pitching and whatnot. But this Saturday night, Mike, you can go down to Camden Yards and you, if you participate, you can be one of the first 15,000 people to get the David Rubenstein bobblehead. Our owner has a bobblehead already. No playoff wins yet, but our owner has a bobblehead. Do you think that's a good sign or a bad sign?
Now, I'm not down for owners believing that bobbleheads of themselves are going to do anything to make the baseball team above better. But you mentioned before Charlie Morton. I mean, how you feeling about my man? I've always liked him as a guy that you could give the baseball to every 4 or 5 days. And
He's
but
41.
he's 41 years
I mean,
old. I
at
hear
some
you. No,
point,
I
you just
hear
got to say, like, it's not as good as it used to be. Is it good
you.
enough? And this is really where it is, man. These kids blowing their arms out. They got eight guys on the. Like, I can't blame Elias. I mean, Bradish, Corbin Burnes, took a discount kind of sort of to go play at home in Arizona, pitching in the AL East. They've moved the fence back. They've moved the fence in again, right? They have all these young kids. They're a sub 500 team as we enter the week here. Pitching, man, like you and I have been at baseball since a long time. If you don't have pitching, you're not going to win.
Now that'd be my question about the birds. Starting pitching. Honestly, I thought so a few weeks ago before the season started, and it's kind of something that I've felt that they're going to have to keep a real close tab on, Nestor, as before this goes too far along and you find yourself I remember some of those days of Ray Miller, our man back in the day, would turn over the food carts in the clubhouse. And I remember an April that started 7-22 for the Birds back in the early 2000s. And again, at that point, you're done. You're already 12 to 15 games out, and you're done. And you haven't even hit Mother's Day yet. So you don't want to get in that situation, to be sure. And they're going to have to find a way to make sure, as you just alluded to, I think that that rotation can last the long haul for them, which means to me, Nestor, they're going to have to go do some things that get them some reinforcements with that starting pitching staff.
Well, the one thing I feel like we have with Rubinstein is that he will spend money. And Luke, my partner, comes home. We're spending his money all the time. Go sign Robertson. Go do this. Go. Yeah, they Eflin last year. I mean, they went a lot of money into Eflin, and now he's not available. So they're just. And look, the Guardians went through this last year with pitching, right? They had this incredible
Oh, big time.
bullpen, right? Certainly had a
Big
lineup,
time.
Ramirez down, good enough to win, kind of got to the edge of it. And all of this happening after, Tito leaves. Well, I know we talked about it last year, but there's a point where when you look at the Orioles pitching and say, where are the reinforcements? They haven't drafted pitchers. They've been really big into bats, which is playing all the odds. Now it's, can they turn the depth of the system into the arms that they need? And they have, I mean, they have an owner with alleged deep pockets who says he will spend, and that's cool. At some point, you got to find arms to go out there and do this. And without that, I just don't think that they can score enough runs. I don't believe offenses are capable of putting 6 to 8 night runs up a night. And especially this offense strikes out. It does all the modern baseball stuff. Double plays, home run or strikeout, not walking as much as it needs to. There's a point for me where I love these young kids, but I don't love the pitching when I look at it night after night, and that's not even the bullpen, Mike.
Well, again, and I think we've known, as you and I old timers guys that have been through this over and over again, man, if you don't have a starting staff that can prove their worth over 6 months and 162 games, I don't know. Good luck to you. I think you're going to be in a bad way. I remember those years when I came into the Orioles for my 8 year run there on the TV side, Nestor. Again, starting pitching, you had Mike Messina and Jimmy Key and Scott Erickson, and even remember Scott Kamonicki had a 14 win season for them. So, I mean, you never worried about the Birds pitching. There's been years. Since that time, we're talking about over 30 years ago now. But the point is, I think you and I both know you're just not going to go through the 6 month, 162 game meat grinder unless you got a strong starting pitching staff. And as you pointed out, right now for the O's, that's very questionable.
Well, you got to get three guys to get you to the fifth, sixth inning, at least to give your bullpen a chance over the season. Michael Regei, longtime voice of the Orioles, he says 8 years. It feels like
Eight
it was
years.
800 years ago, but sometimes it feels like it was 8 days ago. You call a lot of college sports, a lot of hoops, a lot of football. You're wearing your worldwide leader hat at ESPN. Catch everybody up on what you do, because I know you've made a beautiful life in Cleveland and you call sort of mid-major games in lots of ways. You're out 3, 4 days a week, sometimes calling games. You're still a really busy guy, and people sometimes put on an ESPN Plus or this, and you pop up calling a game somewhere out there in the Midwest.
Yeah, college football and college hoops for the last, oh, 5, 6 years, Nestor, has been my mainstay. And that's fine with me, every one of those 8 years with the Birds, I was also calling the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA. So between the 162 game baseball schedule and the 82 game NBA schedule, I was good for 250 a year.
You were living
And
the life of Kenny Albert, is what you're telling me, huh?
Kinda, yeah, and look, again, as I've told you before, I am extremely humbled by that, and I mean that with tremendous sincerity, that I had that opportunity to do that. As you said, not many have, and for whatever reason, whether it was just all the good karma rolling for me or not, but I did have that opportunity, and did it 8 years with doing both. Wound up doing the Cavaliers for 15 years. But look, it's like I said, I'm humbled by it, and it was a tremendous time. I mean, for me, I could think of nothing better. Now you go into the ballpark or the arena every day, but again, if you love it like we do, and you're passionate about it, that's what it was all about for me, and I can't imagine doing it any other way than that.
Well, you're calling Michael Jordan one night and Cal Ripken the next. I mean, literally. I mean, that was what, and Derek Jeter, and all of that stuff at the turn of the century. But more than that, I mean, you got in the booth with the late great Mike Flanagan, my dear friend, as well as Jim Palmer. I mean, like, you're sitting in the booth every night for a decade talking pitching, matchups, strategy. I mean, it's just, you're a wealth of information. And I always say this about my guests, that I bring on Baltimore Positive, the most decorated people in the marketplace. Not just that, because you've forgotten more stuff, just osmosis of hanging out with Flanagan and Palmer for 10 years, five, six nights a week. I mean, literally,
You're
right?
right. Well, you mentioned those two guys, and I think of Flanny every day, every day. I mean, and I mean that. Not a day goes by that I don't. It always brings a tear to my eye. Such just a tremendous baseball man. I mean, as good as it gets. And the same with the Hall of Famer, with Jim Palmer too. I still Jim and I still communicate. I'd say probably during the baseball season, at least once a month, if not more. And just what could be better than that? I mean,
Only
all
thing better, I'm going to ask you, and
of
be honest with me,
I will. I'm
this is a
always
flippant
honest with
question.
you. You know that?
Did you ever eat pancakes with Jim Palmer?
Oh, a million times.
God, I never had pancakes with Jim Palmer. I have a picture. I have a giant picture back when Angelos was involved in shutting down the Sports Legends Museum that is in the background here. All of that art that hung in there was primary, and they couldn't fit it all in the Babe Ruth Museum, and they had archives, they had a little sell-off to make some money and whatnot. I wound up getting the picture of Jim Palmer sitting in a suit, eating a big stack of pancakes, and he was pouring the syrup on. And I'm talking about young Jim. I'm talking about 65, 66, 67 Jim, not 70s jockey underwear, hanging out with Howard Cosell, going to the Hall of Fame. I'm talking very young Jim. And I've it was on my it was on the WNST wall. If you were ever in my radio station, it was the primary art. That we had three primary pieces of art on the wall in here. We had Wild Bill Hagee over Section 34 doing the O, it resplendent in the hat, the whole thing, right? We had Cakes eating the pancakes, and then we had another wall. This was my favorite. It was in Miami, about 67. It was Aparicio, Davey Johnson, Boog Powell, and Brooks Robinson all doing the black and white glove spring training shot. You know what I'm saying? With the palm trees behind it. So those were the three. One more piece: Brooks Robinson and the Norman Rockwell, autographed by Brooks
Fantastic.
on the wall. So that's
Fantastic.
was my place. So Cakes eating cakes is, if you've had pancakes with Jim
Oh
Palmer, you're
yes.
a good man, you
Like
know.
I said multiple times in many a road trip, and Jim would devour them, and yet kept that just immaculate, girlish figure of his. But no
I
one
had
I
somebody that played tennis against him and says he plays tennis left-handed.
he's a phenomenal tennis player. I never played with him, but we talked about it a lot. I'm convinced that guy could have been on the PGA Tour. He could have been on the tennis circuit, and I mean professionally. Incredible, just incredible athleticism from him. One of the best. Real quick story from him. We're in Detroit, and I know you probably heard at the time our producer and director of O's Baseball was Bill Bell. I believe he still produces and directs the Washington Capitals, but on the NHL side. But regardless, we're eating, we're having a bite to eat, maybe a soda pop after the game, and we're in Detroit, like I said. So Bill Bell says to the Cakes, Jim, back in the day, Detroit had all those tremendous left-handed hitters in Cash and McAuliffe and then Northrup and all the left-handed bats, and they got that overhang at Old Tiger Stadium. I mean, how did you deal with that? How did you pitch to them knowing
Willie
and
Horton, my God.
really hard, right? But the look that Cakes gave Bill Bell with that great pregnant pause and said, "Bill, I'm a damn Hall of Famer, remember?" they had to figure out what they could do to try to hit me, not the other way around. That overhang meant nothing to me because none of them could touch me. So, I mean, those are the things that I absolutely loved about Cakes, and one of the best to ever do it. You know that, Nestor, one of the greatest starting pitchers ever in the history of the game. And I mean that not because I worked with him for 8 years and know him. You look at it, one of the greatest starting pitchers, forget about right-handed, left-handed, greatest starting pitchers in the history of Major League Baseball.
The greatest Oriole ever, I did the research. No offense to Brooks or Cal or Eddie or Frank or Luis or Gunner. Cakes, go look at the back of his baseball card. Just go look at the back of his baseball
That's
card.
right.
That's all you need to know. It speaks for itself, you know?
268 wins and a damn ERA under three? Come on now, man.
That
I
little
mean,
CG means something there too, back in the
some
day, you
bleep
know?
games. That's right. Well, that's comic book numbers. And boy, you don't have to try to sell me on it. I said that all the time. I used to tell all my buddies, we'd talk about that. They'd ask me about him. Look, the man is the greatest, to me, the greatest right-handed starting pitcher in the history of the game, and certainly up there with starting pitching, period, in the history of the game. He was that special and that elite.
And he dealt with Earl Weaver. Michael Regei is our guest here. You hail from Detroit. Were you at the 71 All-Star game?
Yes.
I gotta ask you because, you know, Luis scored the run. Luis was on base when Reggie hit the ball over the roof there in that game. I mean, when I see footage of that game and Kurt Gowdy, like the whole deal, like to me, that's baseball. And like the fact that I wanted to, so you were there. Where were you sitting? How old were you? Give me the deal. Did you go with your dad? Tell me the whole story.
I was in the upper deck in right center field. So in let's see, 1971, I was a junior in high school. I was so 17 years old.
Dreaming of doing broadcasting games, was that your dream to do, be a baseball announcer, basketball announcer, or no?
Probably play first.
Oh, you wanted to play ball. Okay, all right.
Oh, absolutely. Played in high school and good fortune to play in college too. But again, sure. So you grow up in Detroit, like Baltimore. I mean, Nestor, think what you want, but Detroit was one of the finest baseball cities in America, man. And
I go past the Lindell AC every time I'm there to
legendary.
right, of course.
You made sure you had to pay homage, right? When you
I did
went.
30 ballparks in 30 days. So when
I
I did
remember that.
Detroit, I mean, my wife and I went over to Tiger Stadium, and we literally, when we got to Tiger Stadium, we played ball. We showed up on a Sunday and people were playing ball, old time jerseys, and my wife threw me a heater, and I lined a single to left field out of
Atta boy.
the same batter's box that my cousin sat was in, Brooks Robinson. I mean, Detroit has this rich, amazing sports history, which is
Unbelievable.
why 54 years later, I'm enthralled to hear you tell me stories about the 71 All-Star game, you know?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, no, I said I was sitting in the upper deck in right center field, like I said. So I had just turned 17 years old. And like I said, at the time, junior in high school playing baseball and football. So, I mean, and the thing about Tiger Stadium, Nestor, I know you can appreciate, like Memorial Stadium was, I think the first thing everybody thinks about is baseball. Oh, but Nestor, I could tell you stories, man, about my childhood and the Detroit Lions playing, their home games in Tiger Stadium, and the football configuration. One goal line was the first baseline; the other goal line was out in left center field, and such a wonderful, wonderful venue back in those days, for the NFL's Lions too. So, between that, just so fortunate to grow up in that kind of environment with four major league professional teams. And, if you guys like us, that I mean, just eat, live, breathe sports, have been since growing up as a kid. Nothing better than that, and I wouldn't trade it in for the world.
So, I've had all of these rich experiences that I'm trying to explain to Katie Griggs over all the years of my covering baseball before Angelos threw me out in 06, and knowing people like you. But the 71 All-Star game, people would be like, why are you talking to Reg Eye about that? There were 22 future Hall of Famers on the field that night. Like, I mean, it's one of the greatest collections, and it had moments and, Oriole moments and like all of that. So to me, it's a mystical. Mythical, like, were you at Super Bowl one or were you at an event? And I've attended, I've done 27 Super Bowls. So there'll be kids who will ask me when I get to be old like you, hey, what was it like to be there for this or that? I was at the Elway Drive game in Cleveland as an example, because we're talking about Cleveland. So I've attended things, but yeah, I don't know, man. The 71 All-Star game has some
Oh,
mythology about it. It really
so
does.
phenomenal. How about the guys? How about all the bombs hitting that one, the home runs? Hank Aaron, right?
Well, I'll give you the 22 names: Johnny Bench, Willie McCovey,
Them
Joe
all.
Torre, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Willie Stargell, Steve Carlton, Ferguson Jenkins, Juan Marichal, Tom Seaver, let's see, Lou Brock, Roberto Clemente, Pete
You
Rose
got
should
them.
be one, so add him. Sparky Anderson, Walter Alston. That's just the National League. Here we
I
go.
know. How
American
about
League:
that?
Rod Carew, Brooks Robinson, Luis Aparicio, Tony Oliva, Frank Robinson, Carl Yastrzemski, guys that like Vida Blue, Mike Cuellar, Mickey Loomis, not Hall of Famers, but Hall of pretty good. Jim
Never
Palmer,
forget it.
there you go.
Never forget
Let's
it.
see here. I'm leaving some out. Thurman Munson was in that game. My goodness.
Yes, he was.
Harmon Killebrew, Frank Hondo Howard, Reggie Jackson. Mr. Tiger, Al Kaline, Al Kaline. Earl Weaver
From
was in that game. How about that?
Baltimore, Maryland, right?
Southern High School,
Southern
absolutely.
High, right? I
Now
lived right.
Digital Harbor, it's been
Yeah,
renamed.
during my time calling the O's, lived right across the street from a Southern High School.
Reg Eye,
You
this is why I love you, man.
go look at it. It was great. Phenomenal, man. And of course, as a kid who grew up in Detroit, I'm like, damn, Al Kaline went here, man. Back in the day, went and played on this diamond right here. Right? So
The best part of Al Kaline is whenever you talk to him, Baltimore accent. It's like Gina Schock from the Go-Go's. It's just right there. Michael Reg Eye
That's
is our
right.
guest. He's out in Cleveland. All right, so let's get to the main event. I mean, Zeppelin always plays Stairway to Heaven at the end, so we'll do that. The Modell Law and the Browns, and let's forget Flacco and Deshaun Watson and Justin Tucker and massages and all that. Let's just talk about the franchise, because you live there in the community. You were really a part of when the team was lifted, when the team came here. You were calling Orioles games, you were a Cleveland guy, like, and flying back and forth. Then there was the 96 97 playoffs and Manny Alexander and Armando Benitez and some things we try to forget around here. But well, we remember the Alomar home run. But I would just say to you, all the years later, and I had Bernard Bikini on, and we did an hour on politics and Ohio and Republicans and Democrats and like voting, all of that. But we really did talk about, it's been 30 years. My state, Maryland, has given these two guys, and it didn't matter if their name was Angelos and Rubenstein or Bisciotti or the next guy, $600 million to fix these stadia up, because we lost the Bullets, we lost the Colts, we stole the Ravens, the or like all that that's gone on with all of this. Your state's trying to figure that out. And I think one of the complications in your state that people here wouldn't know about, and we do have the Commanders, as I call them, the other Maryland team. When they win, they're our team now. We've just decided that. I just made that up. But they'll never be our team. But Cincinnati, Reds, Bengals, Ohio State's now a professional and bigger than any of these. The Browns, the Cavs, which you were a great part of as well, and the Guardians, and stadia and moving stuff around. It's way more complicated than it was here, where the politicians just rolled over when Hogan was in office. They all rolled down, they all gave the money. It's important, it's important. And now Mr. Rubenstein gets to decide how he's going to kick the media out of the press box and move them to left field like they've done in all the other places. By the way, Kevin Byrne has a press box here named after him now. It's a little tiny
Is
little
that
press.
right?
Yeah, they killed the real press box, and
Outstanding. One of my
they
favorite sports guys of all time, Kevin Byrne.
spent all the money on moving the media off the 50-yard line, and they put them up in the Kevin Byrne little box in the corner now. And they have a black wing where it is now like the VIP to the VIP to the Purple Platinum Club. It looks like a disco. It's at the 50-yard line, and that's what they're going to do with the baseball. So The football thing is white hot or orange hot or brown hot in your community. Fill me in on everything I need to know, Mike.
Well, I mean, I think there's a great love hate going on, and kind of leaning more toward the hate side with the current ownership group of the Cleveland Browns, Jimmy and D Haslam. And I think the only thing we're talking about, the only thing that's going to fix that, you can't be damn 3-14 again. You can't come off a playoff year and turn around and go 3-14 the next year and expect everything to stay cool with your fan base. This long tradition rich love them, their Cleveland Brown fan base. So when you got the owner saying that, use the baseball analogy about a couple of weeks ago, when he said the Deshaun Watson signing decision has been a huge swing and a miss for us. Nestor, now think about that now, right? Think about that. You go out and you with all of the off-field issues that were going on, they basically, the ownership group said, "Hell with that. We're going to go sign this guy because we." And listen, I'll be the first to tell you, a few years back, I don't know how you couldn't say that Deshaun Watson wasn't one of the top 6 to 8 quarterbacks in the NFL. He was when he was playing in Houston, but that's long gone now. And the Haslams are going to have to find a way out of that. And hence, one more time, here comes our man Joe Flacco back to see if he can resurrect the position one more time before they ultimately are going to have to turn it over to either someone they draft or someone they get via free agency or trade to be the starting quarterback going forward. But for now, and you know what? Call me. Call me kind of like living on the moment, but I think Flacco can I don't know how I think he can get them again with his play, where if everything else comes in check and within balance with that they can be back to coming off that 3-14 and get back to being a playoff team again, and he's going to need to. But I think he's the guy that's going to start the season as the quarterback, and somebody's going to have to take the job from him because I don't think it's going to be Kenny Pickett, right? Who they picked up from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's Flacco's job right now. I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback coming up into at least not with that number 2 overall pick. I think you're looking at more of maybe Abdul Carter, the tremendous pass rushing edge player from Penn State, or maybe Travis Hunter, the receiver, an outstanding DB, the two-way guy that plays for Deion Sanders with Shador at Colorado. I think one of those two guys will, if they stay there with that second pick, I think they're going to go to that side of the ball. Although with Hunter, you get a guy that could play both ways. But I think it's not going to be a quarterback there. It'll be either Carter or Travis Hunter.
What happens with the Brook Park Stadium thing and the Modell Law? I mean, you were
Yeah.
around and a citizen and being a part of making sure it didn't happen again. It happened to our community several times. If you count the basketball team, we lost an NBA team here. Nobody
Yep.
said
Yep.
much. It was 50 years ago. I mean, your community's been through it with Richfield, with losing a football team, with getting it
Yeah.
back, with having
Yep.
that stadium built, which feels like 5 minutes ago. It was always sort of ill-conceived against the lake for parking and for all of that. But it is a downtown stadium, which, should invigorate downtown Cleveland. It should be better there than at a former auto mall down in Brook Park near the airport. But the
Yep.
law and the spirit of what Cleveland endured and then tried to overcome in our lifetime, is it that far gone that they're going to overlook that and allow this billionaire to slug his way out of the city?
Well, it certainly appears that that could be the case, and I'm not for that. I'm not for that at all. To me, like I said, all right, you may say, well, that stadium down there on the lakefront with, on the northern side of it, you can't do anything because there's the water of Lake Erie. So I but to me, I like, again, call me an old curmudgeon if you like, that's fine. I guess I probably am. But to me, man, I want these NFL teams in the city and
And
in
you
the
broadcast games your
in
whole life. You've gotten
downtown.
up and gone to games. There is a difference between what happens when people assemble on the edge of a freeway in a tailgate lot like they do in Kansas City. And it's a completely different thing in Charlotte or Baltimore where you can walk to the stadium. And even like Philadelphia's on the edge of the earth and it's a parking lot. You know what I mean? It's a different thing for commerce. And what we're trying to do in cities and the reason we invest in this and the reason we give billionaires money isn't to make billionaires richer, even though Mr. Rubenstein called this a philanthropy act, $1.8 billion
Did he?
philanthropy. He
Oh, I
called
didn't
it
hear that.
philanthropy,
Oh, did he?
which is
Oh,
hilarious to me. The $16
okay.
beers aren't philanthropy, but and Gunnar Henderson's agent's not going to consider it philanthropy either. But
No, he's not.
it's fascinating how it can be PR'd and communicated through professional communications people that somehow, some way, they're going to move the Browns out of Cleveland after all of this. I don't know who would stand up for that in your community. I can't.
Nobody. Now, nobody gonna stand up for that. I mean, and again, I really have a hard time understanding why the Haslams, the owners, are having such a hard time seeming to comprehend this, that virtually no one wants to watch the Cleveland Browns play out of downtown Cleveland.
In a
I
dome.
guess except the Haslams. So again, good luck to them because I don't know. I'm not going to be pie in the sky and say it might be the death knell of the NFL in Cleveland. However, again, he does not have a lot of support with looking to do this and move this team out of the downtown sector. And again, for all of the tremendous fans of this organization, much like the Colts had as they became the Ravens. Listen, I just don't think it's going to fly. So good luck to them is would be my message to them because I think they're going to need it.
Michael Red Guy is here. He is everywhere calling games on ESPN. He's still out in the land of Cleve. So when the Guardians and Orioles get together, I use it as an excuse to talk about Cleveland issues and Ohio issues. And now they kind of relate to what's going on here. We're going to watch them play some baseball. We play the whole state of Ohio this week. We've been playing the
Yeah.
Reds. It's like 1970 all over
How about
again.
that?
You know, for you
Yeah.
young old timers.
Beautiful.
Mike, I love catching up with you. Stay healthy. Keep calling the games. You're a wealth of information and always a great, insightful guest as we bring you in from Ohio. And just when I tell Munch, I tell Bernard, I tell all my Cleveland friends, I'll meet you in Tremont down at Lucky's Cafe. We'll get some scones.
Absolutely.
We'll get a shipwreck. We'll hang
All of
out.
it.
I love
Look
coming
at
into
you.
Cleveland.
Look
I
at
gotta
you.
get to the
You're
Hall of Fame soon, is what I gotta
Yeah,
do.
well, absolutely. We'll do that together. And man, you're like the Chamber of Commerce here in Cleveland now, throwing out all the names of
Everybody
some of
knows
the
how much
top
I loved Parma
establishments.
back in the day. Come
I
on
know.
now,
I'm messing with you. I know. I mean that with great sincerity. Used to always love, even after my 8-year tenure with the O's was complete, always loved seeing you. And I mean this with all sincerity. Always loved seeing you when the Ravens would make their trip in to play the Browns because you were always there, and I've always loved your passion and your enthusiasm and the way you present things. And that's why when you want me to come on with you, I say yes, because again, call me that curmudgeon I said I am. I don't say yes to everybody anymore. I don't, but you, I always do.
Well, you even bang around your schedule to make me, fit in and shoehorn me in. So I
I
appreciate
put
that.
you through it for these
Michael,
couple
man,
of
three
days, didn't I?
decades, my man. 30 years we've been at this, you and me. So, Michael
Yeah.
Red Guy, I will see you later. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive. And if Red Guy were still calling the games, every see you later for a home run would cost John Martin $500 in home run riches. So there's your plug, lottery.